The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot to their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." He said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all that we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. What I thought we'd do this morning is talk about the mysterious first reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. These are events that happened something like 2,600 years ago, but they're remarkably timely for us right now. First reading pits the prophet Jeremiah against a false prophet. His name is Hananiah. So let's take a closer look, okay? Always to understand these Old Testament readings helps to review a little bit of history. Almost always you have to. So the historical context of your first reading is just before the Babylonians conquer Israel and take the people into captivity. And just to jog your memory, the year was 587 BC when the unthinkable happened in Israel. The Babylonians, the enemies, the arch enemies of the people of Judah, conquered Jerusalem, burned the temple, looted the temple, took the people away in shackles and chains, led them into captivity in Babylon, where they remained for 50 years. Now, consider, this is absolutely unthinkable as a turn of events, because the very identity of the Israelite people was that they were set free from captivity and given a land of their own. And then all of a sudden, this is all reversed. And they're all taken away in captivity, and they lose the promised land. And it was as though God had lied to them, that God had forgotten them, or worse of all, that God did not exist. Unthinkable turn of events. Prophet Jeremiah, remember, he preached for 40 years. It's a long time. For 40 years, he said to the people, "Listen, people, nothing is automatic with regard to God's care. If you don't keep his commandments and abide by his covenant, it's not he who has run away from you. It's you, rather, who've turned your backs on him. And he can no longer protect you. Keep his covenant or his commandments, or there will be cataclysm." But nobody listened to Jeremiah, okay? So along comes this false prophet. His name is Hananiah. And he announces to all the people of Israel, he says, "People of Israel, don't you worry about a thing, because God's going to smash the Babylonians, and he's going to reestablish your kingship, and from now on everything's going to be peace and prosperity, people. Don't you worry about a thing." And Jeremiah stands up and he says, "Hananiah is a false prophet. Hananiah does not speak for God." And the people are confused. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? So Jeremiah, he predicts the future. He says, "Mark my words, everybody. 7 months from today, Hananiah is going to drop dead." Lo and behold, 7 months later, Hananiah drops dead. Okay, so it raises the question, though, this is the important question, of the difference between the true prophet and the false. This is actually very timely. I don't know whether you follow church news around the world or not. I almost hope for your own sanity's sake that you don't. because it can be very troubling to hear reports from different places in the world. I won't get too specific so as to, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt. Different regions, different church leaders, they're proposing things that every Christian from the dawn of time has always understood as being grievously sinful. And they're saying, well, you know, now God says this is okay. Oh, and by the way, I speak for God. So now suddenly this question of who's the real prophet and who's the false prophet, it becomes very timely. Let's remember, prophet isn't necessarily somebody who predicts the future. A prophet, rather, is somebody who says, I speak in God's name. So what's the true prophet and how can you tell him different from the false prophet? Well, you glean through the Old Testament, you'll find three traits of a real prophet, three traits of a true prophet from the Old Testament. Number one, they call the people to holy living. Number two, they call the people to holy worship. Number three, they call the people to care for the destitute. Okay, first of all, holy living. Holy means different. That's what the word means. And holy living means keeping God's commandments. That's different. The rest of the world doesn't keep God's commandments. Secondly, holy worship. This one's harder to encapsulate, but let me give you a concept. When God calls you to worship him, it jolts you out of your pattern of behavior and is difficult to do. Or, to put it briefly, real worship of God is almost always inconvenient. Have you ever, for example, interrupted your day at 12 noon and offered the Angelus? It's terribly inconvenient, isn't it? Have you ever been with a group at a restaurant and interrupted the group and said, let's offer grace before meals? Inconvenient. Have you ever interrupted your Saturday and lined up for confession? Inconvenient. You know what it means to wake up early and truck across town for Mass when you could be nursing a cup of coffee, right? Inconvenient. Real worship, just a little guidepost. It's almost always inconvenient. And the last trait of the true prophet is that he calls the people to care for the destitute and the forgotten. These are the people that are despised, trampled underfoot, ordinarily forgotten. These are not the people that are protected and promoted by governments, major corporations, and funded with rivers of cash. These are rather the people that the rest of the world despises. I can think of a couple of quick and easy examples. The elderly, the terminally ill elderly, and the unborn. Now, what do all these three traits have in common? They're all difficult. They're difficult to live by, and they're difficult to announce. But that's the hallmark of the true prophet. False prophet, by contrast, what does he call you to? Does he call you to holy living? No. He tells you to minimize the commandments almost to the point of eliminating them altogether. Does he call you to holy worship? No. He calls you to something that's not God-centered and interrupts your day. He calls you to something that's man-centered and this-worldly and not otherworldly. And as for the poor and the weak and the vulnerable and the destitute, well, they're forgotten altogether. And you see the contrast here in this first reading between the true prophet and the false. Hananiah proclaims what's easy, and he's honored and he's loved everywhere. Jeremiah calls the people to sacrifice, and they nearly put him to death. So I give you this little thought here this morning, just to go out and discern, to discern the difference. It's difficult, it's not easy. But perhaps I could give you just one summarizing guidepost for discerning the true prophet from the false. If anybody claims to speak in God's name, you can perhaps ask just one question. The message that they speak, is it interchangeable with and identical to the message that the secular world is currently speaking? Because if the answer is yes, they're most likely a false prophet. A real prophet calls you to something holy. Something holy is something difficult, different, and almost never popular. St. Alphonsus Liguori, whose feast day we celebrate today, he once said that everybody's called to be a prophet of God by virtue of their baptism. Let's pray for the grace to be faithful and ask for his prayers to help us today. St. Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us.